So let's look at that verse again. For that after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. That's lots of times two categories that Christians fall into. You get one group of Christians that's over there, oh God, show me a sign. If you really want me to do this, show me a sign. And there's this other group of Christians that's saying, well, we need to look at this intellectually. You know, we need to compare the Bible to Aristotle and to Plato and to Kant and all these other great philosophers and great thinkers, and then see if it all lines up and come up with our own theology. Well, that's not spiritual knowledge. That's five senses knowledge if you're going after either of those. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Here's a great verse. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Okay, you take God in his silliest moment, when God is fooling around and being silly, he is wiser than the wisest thought the wisest man ever had. You take the most brilliant genius that ever walked the face of the earth, and he comes up with his most brilliant thought. He doesn't even come close to where God is when God is being silly. Then you take the strongest man. Like you go see the Olympics, these guys that lift all these weights. They got guys that can lift three times their own weight. I mean, geez, I have trouble lifting, you know, suitcases sometimes. But they lift three times their own weight. And they are able to do this phenomenal feats of strength. But yet, their strength, where God is weakest, they're not even approaching God's strength. Let's flip over back to chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians. But the natural man... Chapter 2, verse 14. It helps if I tell you the verse. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Also, all the great intellectual wisdom that man has produced does not bring man to the point of receiving the things of the Spirit of God. See, it's great to be intellectual, and it's great to figure things out intellectually, but that doesn't get you closer to God. It might help you in your profession. It might make you a better whatever you do for a living or whatever, but it doesn't bring you closer to God. You don't have to be real smart to know the things of God. God made it so that even a fool can understand the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Let's go to towards the back of the Old Testament, 2 Peter. Somebody once said you got 1 Peter and then you got Re-Peter. Well, I don't know about that, but we're going to 2 Peter. Chapter 1, verse 19. Where also we have a more sure word of prophecy, talking about this word of God. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Hey, we've seen those verses before. Facts are true for a time, but truth is eternal. It may be a fact that you have a cold, but the truth of God's word is that you have health because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. Say, for instance, you do have that cold. That's a factual account of the situation. But the truth of God's word is by Christ's stripes, you've been healed. It's a done deal. But if you are not able to renew your mind to the truth of God's word, then you go, you find the best doctor you can get, you get the best cold medicine you get, and you believe the best you can to get delivered. You know, don't sit around and condemn yourself and all that stuff. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And it says here, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is spiritual knowledge. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8, it says, thou, talking about God, hast put all things in subjection under his, talking about Jesus Christ's feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But Now we see not yet all things put under him. The truth is God's word is that we're more than conquerors in all situations. But the facts is sometimes negatives happen. We live in a world that negatives happen. There is an adversary in the world. Even though we have the victory in the spiritual realm, we don't always see the victory in the five senses realm. These setbacks, however, are always temporary. Our victory is always eternal. In John 8:32, it says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In chapter 4, verse 21, "If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." In John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." The word of God is truth. What we perceive through our five senses may be true or it may be false. Let's go to a section in Romans chapter 1, starting verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." See, these men, they think the unrighteous thing is true instead of things that are of God's word. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." They, you know, it's like they're walking around, "I got the answer, I know it." And they became a fool because they ignored the truth of God's word. "And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God also gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." Man will sometimes hold the truth of his five senses and not believe the word of God. One of the great lies being promoted today is homosexuality. We are told that the homosexual is a victim. We're told that he can't help it because he's born that way. Or we're also told, oh, it's just another lifestyle and it's okay. We're told to be accepting and approving of the homosexuality. That is all five senses knowledge. The spiritual knowledge is that homosexuality is unclean and vile. God warns that there's consequences to such behavior. Now, we don't hate homosexuals. We don't persecute homosexuals. We don't run up and down the street looking for them so we can confront them and tell them how bad they are. That's not loving. That's not godly. But we don't run around saying, telling people it's okay to go into it. Because, say, for instance, you have a child. You don't want your child to grow up to be a homosexual. You want them to grow up to be a heterosexual. They'll live longer. They'll be healthier. They'll be happier. They're less likely to commit suicide if they stay out of that. It's just time and time. There's just many, many things. It's documented even in the five senses realm. But people, they don't want to see it. They think they just want to put blinders on and head headlong to that. So if you can help steer people clear of that, you're doing them a favor, definitely. We want to be compassionate and help people. That's what we're all about. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it's talking about who? It's talking about God. God wants to have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We must teach people the keys to unlock the doors of spiritual knowledge so they can come unto a knowledge of the truth. And let's go to Romans chapter 8. And in verse 6, it says here, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. "Thus saith the Lord, Cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath in a desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. I think the heath there is like a tumbleweed. It's got no roots. It's just blown about by every wind of doctrine. But it says here in verse 7, Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Let's go to the New Testament, back to Romans chapter 8. Here's a great verse of scripture here, a great section, in starting in verse 31. And it says, What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? There's a great rhetorical question. You know, sometimes when life is, it feels like you're getting all sorts of things going wrong in your life, well, just read this verse. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all for all things? Verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? God that justifieth? Who is he that condemneth? Christ that died? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? For it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. Oh, me, everything's going bad. The world's going down the tubes, and the tubes are greased. Oh, gee, the stock market's going to crash. The economy's going bad. The wrong guy got elected for president. Oh, geez. Oh, my God. All these bad things are happening. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, or anything else you can think of, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is interesting. It says here that not even death can separate us from the love of Christ. The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How can that be? You know, if you're dead, wouldn't you be separated? Well, see, you have to look at it from God's point of view. From God's point of view, our body and soul are only temporal, but our spirit is eternal. There's a day coming when Christ will return, and all things will be put under his feet, and we'll have a spiritual body, and we'll be living eternity with Christ and with God. So from God's point of view, even death can't separate us from the love of Christ. Isn't that amazing?